On today's episode, Liz and I welcome Dr. Ashley LeBaron-Black to the show, and we dive into a deep discussion about managing money in marriage, including financial attitudes and behaviors, and why money can be such a touchy topic in relationships. Dr. Ashley LeBaron-Black is an assistant professor of family life at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. She received her PhD in family studies and human development from the University of Arizona. Her research focuses on family finance, including finances in couple relationships and financial socialization. Ashley has published over 50 peer-reviewed articles and is an associate editor for the Journal of Family and Economic Issues. She is chair of the Family Financial Well-Being Focus Group for the National Council on Family Relations. We hope you enjoy the show. Friends, welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm Dr. Dave here at USU alongside Dr. Liz Hill, our licensed clinical psychologist, and we are bringing you the best guests, the best research, the best resources and tips and tools helping you to have the marriage of your dreams. Okay, Liz, super excited about our guest today. We're talking about an important topic. It always seems to be a hot topic. Yeah, she's an expert. So she's a Brigham Young University, a professor, assistant professor down there. She is an expert about managing money and finances, and specifically with couple relationships. So Dr. Ashley LeBaron-Black, welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here chatting with you guys today.
Okay, so I've got to ask you, and I've done a little bit of research in this, and several years ago, a newlywed study and money, right? It was this debt brought into marriage. It was this talking about finances. It was savings or debt or credit cards. So most of the research that I've seen, when it comes to struggles, this idea, this topic of money and finances and this fighting about this money, it tends to be in the top, you know, 3 to 5 areas of problem areas in relationships. And in some couples, it's right up there. It's number one as far as the struggles, the challenges that couples deal with, the things that they're fighting about. So what's going on, Ashley, and why is this such a hot topic for many couples?
Great question. So of course, money can be stressful. And we know from research that it is important that couples have enough to meet their needs and a little bit extra. But after that, it's not actually the money itself and how much couple has that makes the difference for their relationship. So there's deeper things going on. It's not the money, it's what the money represents and symbolizes, which is trust, interdependence, intimacy, values, communication, power, and equal partnership. Kind of these underlying things that are really hard to do well and bring together from two different people in a marriage. And so I think money is just one of those top things that really brings out those deeper issues that a lot of couples struggle with.
Ooh, I like this. I've always heard that money is power. Ashley, by the way.
Yes. Okay.
Say, what else is it again? Intimacy, you said. Intimacy? And what were
yeah,
the
intimacy, right? Trust, selflessness, communication, values. Money's tied to all these things. So when couples are fighting about money, it's usually not about the money itself, but kind of these underlying relational dynamics.
Yeah, I was telling you and Dave before we got on that I had gone to the gardening store, the nursery, to replace some plants that the deer had obliterated this past winter because they were so hungry. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to get, but I came home with kind of a big truck full. And my husband said, I didn't know you were getting a forest, right? I didn't know we were buying a forest. And I didn't really know either. But then I bought a few other things for the yard. And before I knew it, I had my husband saying, I feel like I just live here. You're kind of acting a little single. So, you know, I never realized that I was just forging ahead. I had a mission. I wanted to get it done. I had not really fully communicated. There was not a lot of trust that was being built or intimacy. And I was being a little on the selfish side.
Selfish.
So.
Yeah, all those things. And I heard like interdependence, I think, probably plays a factor in that, too. Kind of this ongoing struggle that a lot of couples have, which kind of the fight between like being an independent person wanting to make your own decisions, but realizing that you're not just a lone person. You guys are tied to each other, and that comes with a lot of compromise and working together. And yeah.
Yeah, well said. Well, we know that there's family financial socialization, right? Or actually, let me ask a different question, if you don't mind. Your research has explored some of the money habits and styles of managing money, and we all have them, it sounds like. But what about our family backgrounds? How we grew up, how does that relate to how we manage finances today in marriage with another party?
Yeah, the short answer would be a lot. It influences it a lot. And there's, different factors to that. On one level, it is financial socialization. So just how well did your parents teach you about money? How healthy are your financial behaviors? How confident are you at managing money? Are you capable of doing that well? But then in addition to, just being a good money manager is also, again, those underlying values about money that are often picked up in families and in, different backgrounds. And so, couples come into marriage with what we call money scripts, which is, just the scripts that they've learned about money and what money is for and how money should be thought about and handled. And so when those backgrounds were not identical, which there, there's usually some differences at least, that can cause, even it to be even harder than it is for just anyone. Yeah.
It is powerful. All right. And difficult. I can see complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the habits and the styles. So some of us is maybe one's a saver, one's a spender.
Yes, that's typical categories that, and it's really common for a spender and a saver to marry each other. That's that's going to come into play in terms of, again, those underlying things like interdependence is going to be harder to achieve when you guys are different in that way, or trust is going to be harder to keep if you're not being respectful about, financial behaviors or boundaries that you've set together. It's going to be harder to build trust and healthy communication if you feel like you're in conflict with each other. And one thing we've learned about the research in the research about this is, and this is true for any, issue or conflict in a marriage, is to make sure that instead of seeing each other as the problem, which we know is really common with spenders versus savers, they see each other as the problem, but instead trying to think of the problem as the problem and you two as a team, and how can we together solve this problem together and, work through this together. It's not your partner that's the problem. It's this issue you have together, and they're actually on your side.
That's really, really beautiful. So it wasn't my fault, Dave, going to the nursery and spending all that money on new plants, right?
That's right.
It was the fact I didn't communicate, right? I didn't take the time to say, oh, guess what? I'm at the nursery. Can I show you some pictures? And I think this is going to be more than I thought.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So instead of you two, getting after each other, thinking through your process of, so that this problem doesn't arise in the future, should we have a spending limit where if it's more than this, we should talk about it first, or, kind of working together to avoid conflict.
Yeah, well said. So the family financial socialization, that's really a mouthful here. That even predicts mental health outcomes in this emerging adulthood. This is something that you have said, Ashley. Can you tell us more about that? What does that mean exactly? Family financial socialization.
Yeah, for sure. So that just means how and what parents teach their kids about money. So it's how kids learn to manage money and think about money. And of course, you can imagine that matters a lot down the road financially, that if kids aren't taught well about money, if they have no idea what they're doing, they could make devastating financial choices that are going to, really impact their life. But we've also found connections from how well their parents taught them about money to, like you said, their mental health in the, 18 to 30 year olds, and romantic relationship success. So, I'm really passionate about parents teaching kids about money well, because it's really not even just about the money, which, of course, in and of itself is an important and necessary facet of life, but it impacts all sorts of other areas of life too.
Hmm. I love this. I'm just envisioning now people listening into this right now, and they're thinking, okay, yeah, there is kind of this issue. It feels almost like, Ashley, sometimes that, okay, so sexual intimacy and money, it just feels like that those two areas are sometimes just it's just easier to avoid it, right? To kind of to not talk about it and just kind of see what happens, because it's uncomfortable for a lot of people. Would you agree?
Yes, I think it's uncomfortable, like on a societal level. Like those are kind of the two like taboo topics that people don't like talking about. But even in our like marriages, right, which should be ideally very comfortable, vulnerable, open space, those two topics are still hard to talk about. And so I think implications of that is that we need to get better talking about it, you know, outside of marriage, like in society, become more comfortable, you know, with education on these topics and just not, you know, shame, getting rid of shame around these topics and being open about them, but also, helping couples feel, you know, have the tools that they need relationally to navigate those two topics well. And again, I think sex is similar to money in that it's often about underlying things. It's how much, how, you know, selflessness and trust and vulnerability. So yeah, I think money and sex kind of have that in common, that they're hard to talk about, but, when they're done well, they can, and when couples are vulnerable and really put effort into working through them well, it can be a huge blessing for their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Now you're dedicating your life, your career really to, studying, you know, finances and how that impacts couple relationships and parent child, all of that. Can you tell us more about what you've discovered in your research as it relates to, you know, financial attitudes, behaviors, communication, even perceptions as they relate to relationships and relationship outcomes?
Yes, I could go on and on. So I'll try to just keep it brief and mention a few things. So obviously how couples manage their money matters for their relationship. Having healthy financial habits and being responsible with money, you know, avoiding debt, even though I said at the beginning that income doesn't matter after a certain extent, but debt hugely matters. Debt is so destructive to marriages. Again, how couples think about money. So as an example, materialism has consequences for marriage. We've seen that people who are really high in materialism and care a lot about money and possessions and appearances tend to have less satisfying marriages. So just, you know, being aware of that. But also how you think about each other, you know, like we talked about savers and spenders, you know, people can choose to intentionally think well of their spouse in that regard and not see their spouse as a problem. Financial deception. Some researchers call it financial infidelity, which again, sounds kind of like sexual infidelity, similar, where we've seen that be really destructive for marriage. You know, the hiding of money or of purchases, you know, just not being fully open and honest with each other about money is a big red flag, a danger for couples. Those are just some that come to mind.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Let's dive right in.
Excellent points. That financial infidelity. Yep, I see it in my practice. I'm sure there's all these money matters have to have some kind of connection, I bet, to not only just power, but gender and roles and responsibilities. Ashley, what have you learned in your studies all these years, please?
Yes, so absolutely it does. Yeah, we've done some research into this, and basically the bottom line that we've found is that equal partnership in money management is super important for like individual well-being of both partners, but also for the success of the relationship or marriage. So some examples of what that would look like is some studies find that both partners having some outside income is empowering to them. But certainly, no matter what couples, situation is in terms of employment, it seems like having joint bank accounts and totally pooling money and, thinking of it as our money is really important. Managing money as a team it has great outcomes instead of one person kind of being the money person, but really seeing that as a joint effort that you do together and are both responsible for. And even financial decision making, that's a team effort. So in all of money management, we really find that teamwork, that equal partnership, is empowering for both of them and creates the environment for trust and intimacy and communication and partnership.
Yeah, that's tricky. Not everybody has joint accounts. A lot of couples really fight me on that. They just say, it's not going to go well, right? I want my own money and he wants his own money.
Yep. And I think some of the reasoning for that, I mean, it's becoming a more popular way to do things. I think, especially as kind of people tend to get married a little later these days, they tend to keep their finances separate. And, and it just, I understand that it's scary to merge finances, but so I think the reason a lot of people don't is trust issues. But really to have, if people want a trusting, intimate, vulnerable relationship, you have to act like you're in one. So, I encourage most people to really do that as well.
Yeah. Okay, Ashley. So let me ask you, I'm envisioning our listeners right here and they're saying, oh man, yes, I could relate. And yes, this is hard and be on the same page, or I feel like I do it all. And this, my partner doesn't. What are some concrete practical tips or tools that you could share with individuals, couples who are listening?
Yeah. So I'd say one would be, if you don't have joint bank accounts, like get each other on, each other's bank accounts. If one of you is kind of the money person in the family and only one of you really knows what's going on, set aside some time to fix that and develop habits like budgeting, at least once a month together, where you sit down and kind of go through it all together. Decide on like couple rules that you have. So for example, like we talked about a spending limit where if it's above a certain amount, you have to talk to each other about it first. Just things that will help you both be involved and have rules that will create an environment of respect and trust, so that you don't have to feel like each other's the enemy or be worried about it. And then for couples who are really struggling to, if money is a consistent source of conflict for couples, therapy, right? That's like always the answer. A marriage and family therapist, or there's kind of a new branch of marriage and family therapy called financial therapy that I think is awesome. They're trained, they kind of have like three areas of training: mental health, like couple relationships, the marriage and family side, and finances. So they help people understand like their own like financial background and habits and why they have those. And it helps them, work together in a couple relationship to work through things and to be financially healthy together. So it kind of gets at all these interconnected pieces of that. And I think could be really helpful for some people.
And who's teaching finance? It's called financial therapy. Did I get that right?
Yes. So Kansas State has actually been like the major, the first program is Kansas State. But if you Google like financial therapists, it's a growing field with people available for, to help. So.
Well, I'm so glad to know that. That's very cool. We love to ask all of our guests this one question. So, Dr. Ashley LeBaron-Black, what in your mind, what is the key to a stronger marriage connection, please?
Oh, that is a great question. And if I had to pick only one thing, I would probably bring it back to that teamwork, that if two people can come together, really see each other as partners and have that deep respect for each other, and then act in respectful, loving ways to each other, there's a lot that can be overcome. So we're working together to build that respect and partnership.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
And now, Ashley, you have a website we were talking about earlier before we jumped on. Information, more tools and tips for people. What do you recommend? Where do they go?
Yes. So this, has been something we've been working on. The website is LeBaron-Black.com. And I have really great research assistants at BYU who write like almost like blog posts. They're really digestible, pretty short, but we wanted to focus on takeaways based on the research. So they're all based on, you know, groundbreaking, you know, research results that we found, but most people do not want to go read a 35-page journal article and get into all the statistics about it. So we wanted to spread the word about research findings in this area, but in a way that was easy for people to understand and apply. So we have information for couples, for parents trying to teach kids about money, for emerging adults trying to learn about finances and be financially healthy and independent. That would be a great place. People can subscribe for free. Of course, it's all for free to get a monthly email about like updates of new findings to go check out. So yeah.
Oh. LeBaron-Black.
Yeah, .com.
Is that
what is it? Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well for our listeners so they can go and visit that. Because you mentioned something there that I just want to touch on and get your take on this, because I think that you're nailing it. And that these short little bits and pieces, what we found at Utah Marriage Commission is we've done conferences, even extension type of conferences, would we say, you know, we have different titles of workshops, you know, someone, you know, managing conflict or commitment and, you know, or happiness in your marriage. And then there's one like on finances, and it just feels like historically it's one of the least attended. It's just not this, you know, the sexy, the topic that people want to come to. And yet study after study continues to show this is an area where people really struggle. I just want to get your thoughts on that. I mean, it's what you're doing right here with all these little kind of short little nuggets almost of this information, putting that out there for people. Is that what you're finding is effective, is these short little doses instead of like this hour long, you know, seminar on managing finances, because I don't want to hear it, you know, because I like the habits that I do. I like buying the Amazon, or I like this stuff. And I know I shouldn't be doing it, and I don't want anyone telling me that I shouldn't be doing it.
Yes. I teach family finance at BYU, and kind of a similar thing where it like sounds like the boring class that no one wants to take. So I try to always help my students really quickly see how it applies to things they care about. Like budgets, for example, like a lot of people are like, ew, like I don't want a budget. Sounds so restrictive and boring. But, you know, so I try to quickly help people see that budgets are a tool to help you achieve your goals and do what you want and actually have freedom that you know you can spend money on these things you want to with peace of mind, without stress, because you've planned for it. So just, I guess, helping people see how it can make their life better and is not boring or, you know, trying to get them to never have fun again. but again, money is so indicative of what we care about. You know, how people spend their money is reflective of what they care about, whether they're being intentional or not. And so I always just, you know, in whether it's how we're managing money or what we're spending money on or how couples are handling money together in their marriage, I just try to help people be intentional about it and have the information they need to be intentional and really, you know, make decisions so that they have the freedom to be living the way that they want to and aligns with their values.
I love that. Yeah, being able to apply that. Why? How does this matter to me? And how can this make my life and our relationship better? And I've got to ask this question as well. Sorry, another question for you, Ashley. And that is, at what point do couples, you know, talk about this? It's obviously it's not on the first date, and you know, hey, how does your family spend money? You know, those types of conversations. But as things are, it's just again, it feels kind of like this awkward topic. Do you have kind of this recommendation of how you go about talking about it, when you go about talking about it?
Yes. So actually, very recently, my awesome grad student Matthew Saxey and I published a couple papers about this, like when couples have their first financial discussion. And we found that the earlier couples have that in their relationship, later when they're married, the better their marriage tends to be. So I would never want anyone to ask someone like what their credit score was, right? Or anything like really personal on a first date. But money, you know, should ideally just be like another important thing that people are evaluating as they're thinking about a potential partner and whether you're a good match for each other and whether this is someone you actually want to tie yourself to. And so certainly, you know, there's some really important things I would really hope everyone talks about and knows about, you know, their partner and vice versa before committing to them. You know, like you should know each other's credit score and how much debt you have and how you budget, what your plan is for, you know, who's going to make money, like what, how are we going to figure that out? So there's lots that should be talked about, I would hope, long before marriage. But I think from even the early days of a relationship before you're getting into personal information, that people would kind of already be just generally talking about money in terms of just another way you're getting to know someone and what they value and how they live. So,
yeah, love it. Yeah, being able to normalize that. Well, Ashley, we sure appreciate your time today. What would you say is your takeaway of the day? We like to ask our guests, what is that one principle or point that you really want to drive home?
I guess I'll just say one more time again, that intentionality. So all of us can be a little better than we are currently being. And so if there was something that people heard today that they know they can do better at, just being intentional to create concrete steps to making that happen, to be better in their marriages, better at their at being responsible with their finances so that they can have better life, better relationships.
So, yeah.
Just don't let your money control you and your marriage. You can control it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's great. Yeah. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day?
You know, I've always thought of money as power, right? But I love this idea of financial fidelity, even that the money is intimacy, it's trust, it's communication and values. I love that. Thank you. And you, Dave, what's your greatest takeaway?
I like that idea. When she talked about scripts, right? Ashley, you talked about these scripts that we all have that we may not even like really deep think about it. But as I think about my own script, you know, raised kind of two very conservative, both with money, you know, very much savers. My parents were and continued to scrimp and save. You know, that's where my script was written, because that's how I was raised and what I saw, what I was exposed to. It doesn't mean that it's only one right way, but I needed to learn to see different perspectives. And, but I, being able to pause and say, okay, this is maybe why, you know, I feel the way I do about money, or maybe the anxiety when I get anxious about an expensive purchase or something. Those are those underlying feelings about the values or the fear, you know, of if we spend it here, then we can't do this or that. So I really appreciate that, Ashley.
I'm definitely a spender. My husband's definitely a saver. I don't know about you, Dave, but
yeah,
we are. Is that opposites attract, Ashley? Is that why you say typically saver married spender?
Oh, in something. I mean, when two people come together, they're going to be opposite in something, right?
Yeah.
And often it's money, probably so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been such a privilege.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Ashley, for coming on and sharing so much wisdom and resources. We'll continue to point people to that. LeBaron-Black.com. Is that right?
.com. Great.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks to you, Ashley. Thanks to our listeners again for tuning in to another episode of Stronger Marriage Connection. We'll see you next time.
And remember, it's the small things that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore and what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.